Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Glow and Tell. Really excited about today's episode because I feel like this is a really interesting topic. But today we're talking a lot about optimism, how to be a more optimistic person, why you would maybe want to be a more optimistic person. I have a list of a whole bunch of ways to do this, and ultimately this episode is going to be about shifting your mindset to just being a more positive person. The reason that this episode is how to be more optimistic and not how to be more realistic or how to be more pessimistic is because I think that probably for the majority of people, we are naturally more realistic or maybe pessimistic. It might be easier for us to look for the negatives in things or prepare for the worst, or, you know, especially if you have like anxiety like I do, or just having to kind of have your guard up on life and feeling like you need to be constantly prepared for any bad thing that might happen. I just feel like it's probable that a lot of people are more so realistic than they are optimistic or pessimistic. And we're also going to be diving into what these terms mean to start because, I don't know, I feel like we hear them a lot. You might have some misconceptions about them. I feel like I did. So I have some definitions here on these four types of ists. So there's pessimists, realists, optimists, and idealists. So a pessimist is someone who focuses on the negative, often expecting the worst and preparing for failure. It's not inherently bad to be pessimistic. You might have a bad kind of connotation with this term, and I don't think it's necessarily the best thing to be looking for the negative in every situation and just think that things, you know, usually work out for the worst. But I think the good thing about being pessimistic is that you are prepared for bad situations. Then we have realists, which despite the name being realist, you might think that this is like the best thing to be because it's realistic, but I don't necessarily think that that's the case. But a realist focuses on facts and practicality, seeing the world as it is, not as it could be. And the reason that I think I feel like being a realist isn't necessarily the best thing is because, like, if you were maybe in traffic, I don't know why I always use like cars, like driving as an example, but like, let's say you're in traffic and you're like, well, I'm taking this for what it is. It's really annoying. I'm sitting here in traffic. This is really stupid. This is annoying. I'm gonna get angry about it because it's something bad. I feel like optimist would be like, well, we're here, we're in traffic. Let me look outside at the beautiful sunset, or like, let me take the time to listen to some good music. So I feel like even though it seems like being a realist is the most normal thing, I guess, or like the most realistic, I don't think that it is necessarily the best. I just want to give you that idea in case you're thinking to yourself that like being a realist is, you know, the most realistic thing to be. But next we have an optimist who focuses on the positive and believes that things will turn out well despite challenges. And an idealist is someone who focuses on the ideal or perfect vision, often optimistic, but sometimes impractical. So you might think of an idealist as like a dreamer, kind of living in their own world. I feel like sometimes I am a bit of a dreamer, but I don't think that I like live in an idealistic state. You know what I mean? I occasionally pass through there. And honestly, it's quite likely that all of us will go go through all of these four different things at different times. It's natural, it's kind of normal, but you probably do have one that is more so your resting state, or it's where you spend most of your time. It's maybe what's most natural to your thought pattern. Whether it's from nature or nurture is kind of inherent to our personalities. And like I said, it might be part of our, you know, genetic makeup and chemistry, and it might be part of the way that we were raised. I often feel like my brother, not to like call him out, but I often feel like just from what I notice him say, I feel like he is quite pessimistic, and I constantly do notice him like pointing out bad things. Whereas I feel like my brain naturally has always been a little bit more optimistic. So like, that's just a way to show like we're siblings, you know, we were raised the same way, I guess. But of course we've had our own different individualistic experiences, but just to say that, you know, we think differently despite being raised the same way. So you might have an inherent, I guess, predisposition to thinking one certain way or another, and that's okay. It's not that any of them are necessarily bad. I mean, they really all have good and bad things. But the reason that we're talking specifically about optimism today and being a more positive person is because I think that being optimistic will make you the happiest and the most pleasant to be around. It will make your life more positive. Just to give you an example here, let's imagine two scenarios, one in which you're a pessimist and one in which you're an optimist. The pessimist would wake up, see that it's raining outside, immediately go, "Oh, it's raining. Great. Like my hair's gonna be frizzy. I'm gonna have to drive in the rain. This sucks. This is terrible. Oh my God, my day's already ruined." Honestly, even a realist might think that way. And then, you know, you're going throughout your day, you're already predisposed to having a negative outlook on the day. So now everything just appears to be more negative than maybe it even is. You get to work and I don't know, someone's in your parking spot and you're like, "Oh my God, of course someone took my parking spot. Ugh, now I'm gonna have to park somewhere else and walk further. And now I'm gonna be late to work." And you're in a bad mood. It just puts you in a bad mood. Now every other person that you interact with, you're going to be in a little bit of a bad mood. You're not going to be giving maybe the best impression to other people. You are in a bad mood yourself, so you probably don't feel great. On the flip side, if you were an optimist in this scenario and you woke up and saw that it was raining outside, you could say, "Oh, I love when it rains. It's so pretty. The world looks so green afterwards because everything is nourished from the rain. I love the sound of the rain. It's so calming. Oh, this is going to be such a cozy day. Let me get on my cute cozy sweater." You get to work and see that someone's in your spot, and you're like, "You know, it's okay. This gives me an opportunity to explore the parking lot a little bit and find a new place." And maybe when you park in this new spot, you see something you wouldn't have seen otherwise. Maybe now you're parked next to a really pretty tree and you get the chance to look at it. Or yes, you have to walk a little bit further to get to your building, but now you get the chance to listen to the rain for a little bit longer and see the outside world. You know what I mean? So the situation doesn't change. You're going through the same events, but the way that you choose to look at them changes everything. Basically, your perspective is everything. And now in this second situation where you're the optimist, you go into work, you're feeling good, you're like happy, even if it's work and you're like, "Yeah, work kind of sucks." You go in and you're just in a good mood. You're looking for the best. People see you and they see you in a good mood and they want to talk to you. You're smiling. You're predisposed to this good mood. This might even open up more opportunities for you at work. Maybe your boss sees you in a good mood. They feel like you're a team player and you get more opportunities. You're a more likable person in general. Your positivity is rubbing off on other people. You're making the whole demeanor of the office better. And even a realist might say, well, in like a subjectively bad scenario, like maybe you don't like work. No one wants to go to work, but like the majority of your life is work. If you work a 9-to-5 on, you know, 5 days a week, and you're doing that for like 50, 60, however many years of your life, and you go in every single day with the mentality of like, "I hate work. I hate going to work. I hate the people at work. I hate my work." And then if you're not doing anything to change it, but you're just going in every day hating it, I mean, your two options are either to change it, to do something, to apply to a different job or whatever, or to change your perspective. You can get so locked into this negative perspective and just see everything through a negative lens. Truly, things that are even actually good, you will view them negatively because you're so jaded from the world. And even if you think, like I said, like, I mean, work's miserable. There's nothing I could do about it. I can't not hate it. Because work takes up so much of your life, or, you know, school, this could be about anything. You're going to be miserable for most of your life. Like, I remember having this mentality. Honestly, this is weird, but I had this realization when I was in elementary school. I was at recess and we were in a talent show. I was stressed because I was kind of choreographing. Me and these like 5 girls, we were all doing this routine for the talent show and we would be practicing every day. And I was so like stressed about it. I was like, "Oh my God, we need to get this right. You need to go there. You need to go there." I was actually stressed. And I remember thinking, you know what? It's going to be okay. Once this talent show's over, then I can relax and I can stop being stressed about it. And I had a realization that every time this one thing that I was like, you know, waiting to be out of the way, like this test you've been dreading, and you're like, things will be all right once this test is done, or like, once I graduate school, then I won't be stressed anymore. It's like, there is so much time wasted, and there's always another thing. Like, there's always gonna be another thing after that thing. Like, after you're like, okay, I got through this. Now I just need to get through this. Like, there's always something else. So I actually remember having this thought, like, while we were at recess this one day, and it was like so powerful to me because I was like, there's always gonna be another thing. Like, the stress is never gonna end. I don't think I was profound enough at the time to realize that what I needed to do with that information was, you know, really just be present in the moment and kind of accept things and embrace them. I think I more so took it as like, oh, I'm gonna be stressed forever. But now I know to have a different perspective on it, and that's why I'm sharing this with you. I feel like a lot of us might be able to say, I'm not in my ideal place right now. I don't like the place I'm working. I'm in school and I hate school. I'm stressed because I have homework every day. I don't have a lot of money right now. I'm kind of depressed. I just went through a breakup. I'm feeling really sad. I don't have any friends. There's always something you could say that is negative about your life. Like, there's always going to be something. And you know the saying, like, everything you have right now is like something you once wanted. Not to say every single thing. Like, I'm not to say if you're in some terrible situation, you're like, I never wanted this. But I mean, you know, when you're like a kid and you look up at the older teenage girls and you think they're so cool and you like wish to be a teenager, and then like you are one now, or you long to have a certain job and like you have the job now, and maybe the magic kind of wears off of it once you're in that place. It's almost like the feeling of wanting something is more powerful than the feeling of actually having it. The magic always wears off after a while, and you can dream and dream about the future, but ultimately, at the end of the day, the present moment is all you have. It's all that's assured. It's all that's certain. And it's not to say that you need to be happy all the time, that things need to be positive all the time, because they aren't always positive. Bad things happen. And I say bad, but really it's kind of subjective. Depending on your perspective, things are good or bad. So by having this more optimistic viewpoint, first of all, you start viewing less things as actually negative things. Like, more things are now positive. It's not like half of the world is bad and half the things that happen are good. It's like your perspective changes the whole way that your subconscious mind and that you even view things, so that things are actually more positive now from your perspective and in your individual experience, because you've shifted your mindset. And back to what I was saying about how the reason that we don't want to wait for things to be perfect to be happy is because they will never be perfect. I've had countless periods in my life where things were really, really hard. Really hard. More difficult than I can even articulate. Times where my mental health was so bad, where I was dealing with such bad anxiety, I couldn't even leave the house. I couldn't go anywhere. I wasn't seeing anyone. I wasn't hanging out with anyone. I was extremely depressed. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to do anything. My physical health felt like it was declining because my mental health was declining as well. And even in those times, there were always good things. And I even think back to some of those times fondly, not about having terrible mental health, but like, I remember things that happened during those times, or just certain things about, you know, where I was in my life at that point that I still think of fondly, because there were good things that were happening even then. And you never know where your life is going to take you, like what it's going to be like. Even if you're in a place right now that you're not thrilled with, it doesn't mean that you can't be positive and have a positive outlook on it, even when bad things are happening. So that's really the main thing I'm trying to get across. I don't want you to be sitting there kind of thinking, well, I'm in a terrible place right now, so I can't do this yet. You totally can, and it will actually help you get out of this place. I also want to say, being an optimistic person is not about having like toxic positivity. It's not like something tragic happens to you, like literally tragic, and you have to be like, oh, it's okay. This is a great thing. That's not at all what this is about. It's about, as I mentioned, I think in the original definition, knowing that things will improve despite their challenges. Life has challenges, and truly every challenge in life is temporary. I mean, everything is temporary. You constantly hear that the only thing we are guaranteed, or the only thing that's certain in life, is change. So know that everything changes. You change. The world changes. Things and circumstances change, and people change, whether you want it to, want them to or not. Your circumstance will change, and if you're in a really hard time right now, even if it feels like it will never end, I promise it will. And something that can be a good exercise for kind of realizing this is thinking about a time where things were really hard for you, things were really bad, or you had something terrible happen in your life, and think about the fact that things are different now. Like how I just mentioned, I had some really difficult years where I was just starting to really deal with severe anxiety, and it was so difficult for me to navigate because nobody in my life had ever experienced it. Everything that was happening to me was new and super foreign to me. So I felt like the most alone person in the world. I was so depressed. I was crying every day. I hardly slept. I hardly ate. I was scared to eat. I was scared of everything. I literally had anxiety over everything. And that's not to say I don't have anxiety anymore. But at that point, it was so, like I said, it was new and foreign to me. And now I know how to handle it much better. But I didn't then. And I literally remembered thinking, like, I don't think this will ever end. I don't know how I could live my life like this. Like, I genuinely don't think I can do it. And it's so sad to think that I used to feel that way. It's like sad to think about myself like that. But I guess it's good to know that I'm not in that place anymore. I mean, I wish I could tell my younger self that things would get better. But being optimistic is about knowing that life has challenges, that there will be hard times, but that things will get better, things will improve, and you can look for the positive even in these negative situations to help you navigate past them and really just have a more pleasant, positive life. And being optimistic honestly just makes life feel more magical. And I feel like people might think that being optimistic is like I kind of said, talking about idealism, it's like living in your own little dream world and like things aren't real and you're kind of ditzy, but I really don't think that that's what it is. And as I mentioned, it's not about ignoring life's difficulties, but knowing that you have the resilience to handle them and that every challenge does teach you new skills. It allows you to honestly just expand your toolbox of skills. And as I mentioned, we're already realistic enough. And me, as someone with anxiety, and I feel like a lot of people do have anxiety, I'm already thinking about worst case scenarios enough of the time. So cultivating some positivity and some optimism is always invited into my life. You know what I mean? It's always something I'm wanting to invite more of. Honestly, even though I guess you would think, like, as someone with anxiety and like I can definitely go down the bad what if path, I've always felt more optimistic inherently. Like I've always been kind of like, I don't know, maybe a little bit of a dreamer, maybe a little bit in my own little world, but I don't even think that's a bad thing. So I think I have a list of 20 ways here to cultivate some more positivity and some more optimism into your life and how you can shift your mindset. So we're going to go through the list one by one and talk about each of these things so you can figure out exactly how you can do this. Number one, and I hate to keep even talking about this. I feel like at this point I mention it in every video, but it needs to be mentioned. Practice gratitude. We'll go over it briefly because you've probably already heard this, but practicing gratitude shifts your mindset towards the positive. It's inherently looking for good things in your day. Honestly, you can do this in the morning and at night. So in the morning, you wake up and you're like, what are some things I'm grateful about today? Get creative with it. Try to think of new things each day and make them really specific. Make them like, I'm grateful that I got to hang out with my friend today, or like, I'm grateful that I got to have a conversation with my mom. And then something else you can do to make this look a little bit more fun and interactive is to, throughout the day, kind of think about what things you'll be able to write in your gratitude journal tonight. Like, it honestly, it's a way of helping you look out for things throughout the day that you're actually grateful for. But you know, if you start to notice that after gratitude journaling for a while, you start to actually do this inherently because you're like, well, what am I going to write in my gratitude journal tonight? And then you're looking around, being more present, and you're finding things to be grateful for and things that you are, you know, just happy for in life. So it's almost like a fun little game as you're going through the day and you're like, what do I have to be grateful for right now? Number two, start seeing the good in things. I mean, this kind of is like the whole concept of optimism, but I mean purposefully go out of your way to find the positive in things, especially things that seem to be negative. Like if I get a negative comment, someone's just being mean to me, whatever, that isn't really a good thing. I mean, you could probably look at that and be like, okay, how is someone like cyberbullying me a good thing? But it allows me to practice self-compassion for myself. It allows me to practice my skills of dealing with negativity, and it allows me to overcome and not let these words get to me. So it's an opportunity for me to grow despite facing circumstances that aren't ideal. Maybe you didn't get a job and you're upset about it, or you were looked over for a promotion, or somebody else got the job and you didn't, and you're feeling pretty bad about it, but maybe there's another opportunity on the way that's much better for you. Maybe it wasn't even right for you anyways, and now you have the chance to work on some of your skills in the meantime. Then if you find yourself going down a little bit of a negative path with your thinking, with your talking, with your words, or with your thoughts, take the time to reframe it for yourself, because it truly makes such a big difference. And then if you know personally you're working on being more optimistic, it'll be much easier to catch yourself and be like, you know, nope, this is not the way that I want to think. After a while of doing this, you won't even have to stop yourself anymore, because you'll find your brain, your subconscious mind, filling in those positive remarks and twisting things in a positive way. You'll start to find yourself naturally thinking, well, yeah, this is happening, but at least this, and it's a good feeling. One thing that you can try with the negative thoughts, whether it's negative self-talk or just letting something negative get to you, like something that somebody said. I mean, this is something I've been struggling with as somebody who's putting themselves online and, you know, opening themselves up to receiving criticism from others. There's something called the 5-second rule. And this is the practice of recognizing a negative thought that you have, or like a hesitation against something. This could be when you catch yourself procrastinating, when you find yourself feeling anxious, you acknowledge it. That's the first step, like realize what's happening. The second step is to count down from 5 to 1, and counting down from 5 to 1 shifts your focus. It like interrupts the negative thought. So I was talking in my last episode about momentous thoughts. Maybe you have a negative momentous thought. Doing this 5-second rule to stop, recognize the negative thought, literally go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now your brain's like, whoa, what are we doing now? Then immediately take action or shift your mindset. If you were procrastinating and you're trying to break it, you stop, you have 5 seconds. I started doing this, especially when I was in school and I had trouble getting out of bed in the morning. I'd be like, okay, you need to get up. You have 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then I get up. I have to. That's what it is. Like, that's a great way that I've stopped myself from procrastinating, but it also works for the negative thinking. If you're stuck with a negative thought in your mind, like I had a comment that really got to me, and I just kept thinking about it, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to think about this anymore. It's not relevant to me. It doesn't matter. I just stop, take 5 seconds, count down from 5, and then replace it with a positive thought. And like, sometimes I'll even literally envision like pulling the thought out of my brain. Like, I'll literally go like that and grab it and like throw it. And I'll be like, yep, we're done. That's all. You can even try writing down a negative thought that you have and telling yourself that once you wrote it down, you're released from it. So you wrote it down, you close your journal, that's it. That's all the time that you have for that. Number 4, focus on solutions and what you can do rather than what you can't do. One example that comes to mind is last night, my mom and I were at the store. We were at TJ Maxx. We were in a really long line. There was only one cashier. They were kind of going slow. We were waiting for quite a while. And instead of getting annoyed by the fact that we had to wait and starting to get impatient, because I can't do anything in that situation. Like, in this situation, the things that I can't do are speed up the line, make it go any faster, get myself out of the situation. The things that I can do are either leave the line or make the choice to stay in it and find something else to do, find something else to think about. So I just start looking around in the aisle. I'm looking at the cute little mugs. I'm talking to my mom. I'm not getting upset or angry about the fact that I have to wait, because all I can do in this situation is, like I said, leave the line, which I didn't want to do, or make the most of it. Maybe another example is like when I'm feeling almost paralyzed by the amount of things I have to do. If I have a really long to-do list in a day, like I don't even know where to start, I make a list for myself. I write down the order that I'm going to do these things. Maybe I even time them out so I know that I'll have enough time, and it kind of gives me peace of mind. And that's focusing on the solutions rather than the problems, because in this scenario, the alternate to that would be not doing anything and then feeling even worse later on. Or I could write it down, figure out how I'm going to get this stuff done, and get it done. This allows you to take ownership of a situation rather than feeling victim to it. And by focusing on what you can do rather than what you can't do or what's out of your control, you cultivate that positive, optimistic mindset. It makes you more resilient, adaptive, innovative, and creative as well. Because by doing this, maybe you have to make up creative solutions to a problem. Maybe you're in a really sticky situation and you're like, okay, what can I do to get out of this? There isn't a super obvious answer, but you can sit and think about it. Now you're more adaptable and you're innovative and you're more creative and resilient. Like, those are all amazing things. Number 5 is surround yourself with people who think optimistically. Again, I've said this before, you can't always choose who you surround yourself with. I mean, if you're in a family situation with people who aren't the most positive, or maybe in a work environment or a school environment and they aren't the most positive people, you can't necessarily choose that, but you can choose to be friends with people who are more optimistic and positive. Maybe you even have a family member who is more optimistic and you kind of like that energy and you make a point to hanging around them more. Maybe you find someone, you just come across someone and you're like, I love your energy. I love your positive outlook. And you make the point to hang out with them more because as you notice them pointing out the positive things and you start to notice their mindset, it starts to rub off on you as well. And both of you will essentially just keep promoting this positive, optimistic outlook on each other rather than the flip side would be kind of being with a pessimistic energy sucker and feeling like all of your positive thoughts are being counteracted by someone else's negative thoughts, which I feel also raises the point that is definitely important to mention, and that's trying to protect your energy and not let your positive attitude and your positivity be dictated by somebody else. Even if you're with someone else who is a pessimistic person or is a realistic person, when you hear them say, oh my God, I can't believe this, I'm so bored, we have to wait in line, you say, well, at least we can do this, you know, or you can be like, well, let's play like a little game while we're waiting. You know, you can be the one to be the optimist in the situation and lighten the mood, and that will rub off on other people as well. Next thing is limit negative media consumption. I think that I really started to struggle with this actually when I was just starting out college. I was in an environmental science class and that was the field that I wanted to pursue. That's the degree that I wanted. And the class was so incredibly depressing. I already knew as someone going into this field that the environment was in a crisis. I already knew that it needed help. That was why I was pursuing this field. But my class, he would just show us videos after videos of incredibly devastating and sad things that I couldn't control. Like I'm doing what I can to make a difference, which for me was pursuing this degree so that I can get a job in this field and help with environmental conservation and things like that. So I found it very difficult to sit and watch lots of videos of animals that were having their habitats destroyed. And like, I literally would sit in class, just cry because I think he was trying to show why it was such an issue. And I totally understand why that's important. But like, I knew that it was an issue and watching these videos was devastating because I felt powerless. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just one girl. I'm doing what I can, but I can't solve all of the world's problems like by myself right at this moment. You know what I mean? So I think that I kind of feel the same way about like the news. And it's really difficult because I don't want to imply that you should be uninformed and ignorant to what's going on in the world. But if you're so like addicted to consuming news and reading about things that you essentially can't really like immediately change, again, I want to reiterate, like there are things you can do about certain things. And even if you're like taking steps to kind of remediate this or help solve this or contribute to it, it's not like it's going to be immediately fixed. So by just constantly consuming these negative things, it can be really damaging to your mind. If you're like addicted to looking at the news and every morning you just wake up and you read all these depressing headlines, like I don't necessarily know that that's the best for you or for your optimistic outlook. Maybe you could even choose to read one of those like positive news things, like where they have go out of their way to tell positive news stories for the day. And again, I just want to reiterate, I'm not saying you should be uninformed of what's going on in the world. I just think you should be careful with your media consumption. And maybe if there's something that you're kind of like passionate about, like if you're passionate about a certain issue, maybe watch or consume inspiring content rather than negative content. Like for me, for environmental science, I don't know, it could be things that you can do in your personal life to make a difference, or ways that you can contribute, or maybe inspiring things that are happening in the climate space rather than reading about all the depressing things all the time. And that can kind of give you things that you can actually do to help and also not drag you down every day. Next, limit energy sucking habits. I can't even describe how bad I feel physically and mentally when I sit on my phone all day. I actually had a day like this yesterday. I was really struggling with motivation. I just felt very low energy. I was on my phone for a long time and I felt terrible the whole day. I was like, I don't even want to be on my phone, but it's just so easy to pick it up and scroll on TikTok. So I just keep grabbing it, but I don't feel good after looking at TikTok for hours. And like, I don't want to be doing this. So if you can limit those energy sucking habits for you, if scrolling on your phone is also kind of an energy sucker for you, put time limits on your social media apps or put your phone in the other room when you're trying to be productive. Maybe another one that I find is like an energy sucking habit for me, or something I don't like to stray away from, is getting off off of my routine. My routines really do work for me. They make me feel good. They help me in my day-to-day life. When I stray away from routine, it can make me feel very off. I mean, honestly, even if I go on a trip and then like I kind of get back and I'm just really thrown off from my routine, I feel weird. I feel kind of out of it. So for me, staying consistent with my routines is something that really helps me. It's something that makes me thrive and that makes me feel more optimistic because I'm in a better state myself when I'm following my routines that I know work for me. The next thing, number 8, is especially if you struggle with actually thinking about the positive and you find yourself constantly focusing on the negative, start to visualize positive outcomes and affirm them. You can use affirmations for this. It's kind of like in the same way of saying, you know, what if this happened? You say, what if this happens? Like, what if I fail? But what if you don't fail and you build a great like brand and you're super successful and everything that you want to happen happens? Like, what if that happens? You can visualize that just the same way that you can visualize the negative things. And visualization is so powerful. When you visualize something, you're giving your subconscious mind that idea. You're imprinting that idea on it. So as you visualize and really vividly think about something, and then maybe as you visualize it, you're like getting kind of excited about it. Your subconscious mind feels that. Now that idea is imprinted there, you're like primed to having that outcome happen because your subconscious mind is going to work to make that be your reality. Like how I mentioned, once you start seeing the positive in things, it's like positive things are popping up everywhere. It's kind of the same idea. You can also say affirmations. And I think somebody commented on a video once I said that I did affirmations. They said like, be careful with them. I think they said like that they can make you feel kind of bad if you affirm something and then it doesn't happen or it goes wrong. But I think I understand that. But I also feel like I love saying affirmations. And I think the thing is, I say these affirmations and I really do like sit in them and feel them as I say them, but I let go of them afterwards. So if I say an affirmation that like, today is gonna be an amazing day or whatever it is, and the day is maybe not that amazing, like, and I don't feel super happy by the end of the day, I'm not like, oh, that affirmation didn't work. I kind of just, I let go. I said the affirmation and I let it go. So even if that happens, I don't know, I haven't found that I'm like angry about it or that I'm fixating on the affirmation. I say it, I feel it, and I let it go. So if you're in the headspace where you feel like that would not work for you and you would say affirmations and then if they don't happen, you're gonna like freak out, maybe don't say them. I guess you have to kind of like be the judge of if you're ready for that or not. I don't know. But I found this channel on Spotify called Kinder Records, I think, or Kinder Records. I don't know which one, but they have so many affirmations, so many. I actually really like the girl's voice too. She has a British accent, but I listen to them every morning and I say them and they are really good. It puts me in a good mood. It like forces me to think positively. It puts new ideas into my subconscious mind that I want to be there. Like it sows seeds in my brain that I want to sow. It's like nourishing my brain with good positive thoughts. So I know people are like, well, I don't understand affirmations. It's just telling myself things that aren't true. First of all, if you have that mentality, you have to already like take it back a step, because if you're going into it thinking that affirmations aren't true and that they don't work, first of all, look into how the subconscious mind works. Even if you and your conscious mind are sitting there thinking this isn't true, your subconscious mind actually doesn't know that. Like I was talking about this in the last episode, it's like your subconscious mind is the mechanic of the ship. Your conscious mind is the captain of the ship. The captain of the ship can tell the mechanic what to do and the mechanic can't see out. They don't know if it's true or not, but they just take it at face value because that's all they have to go off of. So that's like your subconscious mind. Your conscious mind, like you speaking, can say things. Your subconscious mind hears them. You're actually like putting them in your brain. So even if you in your conscious mind think this isn't true, I don't even have those thoughts anymore. I just say an affirmation and I believe it to be true. So like that's kind of where you want to get. But either way, even if you don't think you believe them, saying it over and over and over, you will start to believe it. Your subconscious mind will believe it, even if your conscious mind doesn't. So let's just clear that up. The next thing, number 9, is do things that make both you and others feel good. This means have more fun in your life. Do things that make you happy. Actually make time for things that make you happy. I feel like making time for yourself is the ultimate form of self-love and self-care. If you're like, I love playing the guitar, but I never make the time for it, make some time for it. Set aside some time. Like making time for things that make you happy and things that fill your cup and fill your bucket and make you feel good is so worth it. it, and then do the same for others. Maybe bake something for someone, just do some acts of kindness for the people around you in your everyday life. Hold the door open for people, smile at someone rather than just choosing to walk past them without looking. You know, say hi to them and ask them about their day. It can be such small things that make people feel seen. They will make you feel good. That will be like a positive in someone else's life and also in your own life. And number 10, replace I can't with I can. I guess this also goes along with looking for the things that you can do and kind of have action-oriented solutions. But rather than saying like, I can't do this, figure out what you can do in a situation and actually shift the verbiage and the words that you use to align with that positive, optimistic viewpoint. If you're in a situation like you're running late on a deadline, maybe you're not going to be able to get something turned in time. You're feeling really stressed about it. You're like, I can't finish this. I can't do this. Well, what can you do? Maybe you can email the professor and ask for an extension. Maybe you can email your boss or whoever it is and let them know that you are so sorry, but it's not going to be ready in time. Would this work instead? Maybe instead you can plan out your timing better so that you can be more on time. Look for the ways that you're able to make a situation work rather than the ways that the situation is not working. And 11 is notice good things as they happen. Take the time to appreciate life, live in the present, and look around and just notice good things. I feel like I constantly have moments where I just take a mental picture. I feel like ever since I watched The Office and Pam talked about how she like would take mental pictures of things, like I have started doing that. And so sometimes I'm in a moment and I'm like, mental picture, this is something I want to remember. And it's just like a good moment. Or honestly, this is something that goes along with being more present, as I mentioned, where you're just noticing good things as they happen. You're seeing the beautiful flowers, you're noticing people holding hands and it's really cute and sweet, or you're just looking for the love in the world and positivity. And this can also be like looking for things to write in your gratitude journal later at night. And number 12, journal about good things each day. At the end of your day, reflect on the day, and you could either do gratitude journaling or just write a little summary and write about some of like the best things that happened. They can be really small. I mean, it can be like, I ate mac and cheese and I love mac and cheese, so that was a highlight for me. You know, like it's really quite simple and it doesn't need to be anything super profound, but it will allow you again to realize that there are so many good things in life, that you have a lot to be grateful for, that there is positivity everywhere if you just open your eyes to it. And number 13, practice self-compassion. When things go wrong, know that it isn't your fault. And even if it is your fault, if you did something wrong, again, practice self-compassion in knowing that you have room to grow. None of us are perfect. We are all doing our best. Even if you make a mistake, we all make mistakes. Literally every single person has mistakes that they've made. We will continue to make mistakes because we are not perfect. So have the knowledge of that, forgive yourself, and allow yourself to let go of those things that are holding you back. When things don't go your way, when they don't happen in the way that you want them to, know that the hard times will pass, as I mentioned, and it might not be that you can't do something, but maybe that you can't do something yet, and you will grow those skills, learn new things, and then be able to do it in the future. Number 14, let go of what you cannot control, because you punish yourself by reliving past experiences. By living in the past, you're truly punishing yourself over and over. Whatever way that situation ended, you know, if you've done the work to remediate it, if it's something that's long in the past, it happened a long time ago, and you keep thinking about it, know that it's done. As I mentioned, we all make mistakes, or even if it wasn't something you did wrong, but something that's been weighing on you, like maybe a really bad breakup, maybe somebody treated you really terribly and you're having a hard time letting go, know that they make mistakes too. And it's not that you need to forgive and forget, but you can forgive and let go. And if somebody hurt you really, really bad, they wronged you terribly, and you're like, I could never forgive them, you don't have to forgive someone if you don't want to. But think for a lot of scenarios, and even in times when, like I said, somebody treated you badly, at least you can feel proud of the fact that you are moving on from it, and you can be proud of the way that you acted in the situation. And like I said, it doesn't mean that you forgive someone and then let them walk all over you again. It can be you forgive them and you're moving on peacefully, leaving them in the past, and that's totally fine. But you want to free yourself of any of those things holding you down. Reframe stress. Stress is unavoidable. It's going to be in everyone's life, in everyone's days. There are always stressful things and it's going to always be there, but you can choose how you tackle stressful situations. You can shift your perspective on stress from something that is danger and that you need to fear to something that is maybe a challenge and an opportunity. Instead of a stress stressful situation, it's an opportunity. If you feel stressed about something because it's something that you can't control, focus on what you can do and what you can. Again, we're focusing on the cans. Like, focus on what you can control, what you can do in a situation, how you can make it right, how you can move forward. I think that that's really the key to not going through life being stressed all the time. And honestly, use stress as motivation. I mean, you hear people sometimes say that they work better when they have deadlines or something like that because it is a little bit of stress, maybe not bad stress, maybe not like distress, but use stress, the good kind that pushes you to achieve and be the person you want to be and get the things done that you want to do. So you can see stress as a positive thing that you can use as a tool for your growth. Be careful with venting. This was really revolutionary for me to learn. I think I probably really learned this like last year. Venting is something you really have to be careful with because our words are so powerful. When you talk and say things, your subconscious mind is always hearing them, like I said. So you could be like perpetuating ideas into your subconscious mind just by vocalizing things. But also, the more you ruminate over insignificant and minuscule things that happen during your day, not only are you looking for the negative in life, like you're looking for more bad things. Like, you could vent about every little thing that happened. You could be like, oh my God, I stubbed my toe, then I dropped my drink, then the person at the register was mean to me, and then my boss was mad at me. But all of these situations could be flipped to have a positive outcome. If you go through your day and you're like, as you start recalling these negative things, you're probably thinking of more and more negative things to add on top of that. Or you frame your mindset throughout the day. Like, as you're going through the day, you start building this narrative in your mind that negative things are happening to you and this day is going poorly. You will keep looking for the negative. And every time there's a negative thing, you're like, oh, see, I knew it was going negatively. You really have the power to shift, honestly, your perceived reality, which is your reality, by just changing the way that you look at things. So when you vent, maybe you're talking to someone and you're like, I just need to get this off my chest. It's okay to, again, need to talk through things. That's not really what I'm talking about. I think communication is great. Using your words to communicate, amazing. If you're venting about, like I said, insignificant things that don't need to be recalled, they don't need to be recounted and lived through again and again, and they really don't add any value, and talking through them, talking about them and bringing them up isn't actually going to do anything because it's not a situation you can change. I don't think that venting is such a great thing. Be careful with how much you vent and use your words cautiously, and also recognize things that actually need to be talked about and worked through versus things that don't really need to be recalled in that way. Number 17, stop taking things so seriously. Life is kind of crazy. It's fun. It's spontaneous. Crazy things happen. And I think life is so much more fun when you are fun, when you are a little bit spontaneous, and when you are able to laugh at mistakes. You're not so uptight and rigid that any little thing knocks you off balance. When you're able to look at something, realize that you made a mistake, but you don't have to necessarily like laugh at yourself, but like laugh at it or think, you know, oops, I messed up. You know, it's not the end of the world. Maybe something embarrassing happened. You can kind of, I don't want to say like laugh at yourself, like ridicule yourself, but you can like laugh it off, shrug it off, and know that you can move forward with it. And it's not the end of the world. Like, again, really just put things in a perspective that life isn't so serious. It really isn't. Like, life can be so fun if you let it be fun. I mean, if you get a bad grade and you're like, oh my God, this is the end of the world, because I'm not gonna lie, that was me. Got my first B in like 8th grade, and it was a B+, and I lost my mind because I thought that that meant my life was gonna be a failure. Like, I thought that I wasn't gonna get into college. I was just going down a bad path. That none of that was true at all, but I could have just been like, oh, well, that's still honestly a great grade. I'm gonna do better on the next test, like whatever. Next, set process-oriented goals rather than end goals. An example of this would be like, let's say for myself, instead of saying like, I wanna hit 200,000 subscribers by this date, I could say, I wanna post 2 videos a week every week. That way, by posting 2 videos a week and by making my goal to post 2 videos a week, my subscriber count is growing inherently. I'm building engagement and building my platform by posting more. When I'm focusing on the process rather than the end goal, it allows you to focus on what you actually can do in the situation. Like, another example would be, instead of saying, I wanna lose 20 pounds, you could say, I wanna work out 5 days a week. Now you're not focusing, looking at the scale and being like, oh my God, I'm not losing 20 pounds. I'm not losing 20 pounds. And you're getting angry over it and you're getting stressed over it. You're focusing on what you can do in this situation. Like, I can post 2 videos a week, can work out 5 days a week. By working out, I'm gonna tone up and like lose a little bit of weight. You know, this again goes to the idea that we're focusing on what we can do in a situation, what we can control. And this is a much better way to go about goal setting, honestly. I think it's still okay to have like, you know, milestones in mind maybe that you want to hit. But I think when you're setting your goals and you make them process-oriented, like that, they're much easier to accomplish and they're things that you can really actively change, and then you'll see the growth happen by doing the work like that. Next is be present. I've kind of already said this, but all we have is the infinite present moment, as they say, or like the everlasting present moment. I read the book, The Power of Now, and if you want to get clear on why the present moment is so important, that kind of really goes into it. It's truly all that's guaranteed. It's all that we're assured. And everything that you want in the future is a result of what you do now in the present moment. So if you want your future to look a certain way, your actions that you're doing right now are going to dictate that. That's all that you can do. And then even in the sense of like not trying to, you know, grow and have this certain dream life, but just being present, why that's important. It allows you to, again, be more peaceful. You're happier. You're looking for the good in life. You're pointing out things. You're just noticing things. You're using your senses to smell whatever you can smell at the current moment. Look around and see what there is to see. You're embracing life, like truly embracing life at this moment, because that's all we have. As I mentioned at the beginning, like how I was saying, I kind of started to feel like an existential crisis thinking about how there was just going to be one stressful thing after another. The answer to that existential crisis is to just be present, be where your feet are, and make the most of things. I mean, the place you are in life, as I mentioned, might be something that you've looked forward to forever. Really make the most of it. Feel grateful for it. Celebrate your successes, celebrate your wins and victories, and celebrate them for others in your life as well. Spread positivity overall. And not everything needs to be positive. Like I said, not everything needs to be like good and happy all the time, but just embrace it. Embrace whatever it is, whatever feelings you're having. And number 20, the last thing is just knowing that bad times never last. Give yourself room to change. Even if you did something in the past that you're not super proud of, know that everything changes. You're able to change as well. And even if you don't like where you are right now, you do have the room to grow. And life is full of opportunity. Give yourself the compassion in that present moment and the self-love. I think that it's just important to believe in possibility in just the same way that you can think about what the worst case scenario is. You can think about what the best case scenario would be. And even if it feels a little bit unrealistic to think about, allow yourself to imagine a little bit and know that just as a worst case scenario is possible, a best case scenario is also possible. I think that being more positive and optimistic inherently kind of leads you to a more successful life, and honestly, a life full of opportunity. And they actually say that people who are more optimistic have like a better immune system. I think they have like a longer life expectancy. They are less distressed and they're overall happier in general. So like, why wouldn't you want to be a more positive person? Today's activity is to write down in your journal or think of a list of all the things that you have in this moment to be grateful for right now. Really sit with each thing that you write down. Maybe make a list of like 10 things or 20 things. You can make a whole journal page of it and then just sit with it. Think about all of those things that you love. Like you literally have a page of things that you love, things that make you so happy. You can think about the weather. You can think about people in your life. You can think about certain events that are happening in your life that you're just so grateful for, and allow yourself to feel the magnitude of those situations, of those opportunities, and of those things that you have in your life. And going forward, I really encourage you to try to be more patient in your life. When something bad happens, work to reframe it in a positive light. Honestly, just challenge yourself to start adopting some of these optimistic tendencies. I truly think that it will make you just lead such a better life, such a happier life. You will be a positive light in the world. Thank you so much for listening. I'm sending you so much love and positivity. Have an amazing day, and I will talk to you soon. Bye, guys.